Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Institute of Leadership and Management's weekly news roundup podcast, where we take a critical look at a number of topical developments from the past few days with a leadership and management theme. I am Rod Jones, content manager at the Institute, and in this podcast, we will be looking at news up to the 6th of July, 2020. Joining me to analyse these stories is Kate Cooper, Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Rod.
Our first story, Kate, looks at a survey of 1,530 small businesses by Be The Business, focusing on how businesses have responded to the pandemic in terms of innovation, technology, and forecasts about the recovery. The survey revealed a shift in leadership reality. Leaders have moved from taking big decisions forced upon them to a new set of big decisions which are in their hands and with no time scale. The pandemic is driving rapid change and innovation, with many respondents thinking about how they use space and choosing new ways of working, new products and new technologies such as virtual meetings, collaboration and cloud technologies. The survey finds that the global pandemic has created the greatest change for business since the war, although there is real fear about the pace of recovery, with one in four businesses believing their turnover in 2 years' time will be lower than it is now. Kate, how should leaders embrace this new reality?
This is a difficult one, isn't it, Rod? Because for those small businesses that haven't been able to pivot, adapt, innovate, because their business model didn't lend itself to such changes, it's really, really difficult. But for those businesses that have, they must feel a huge sense of confidence and belief in their ability to adapt, their ability to learn. And I think that's not just for the small business sector, that's for every organisation. Look how quickly we can change if we want to. And in a way, it makes you look back on all of those resistance to change workshops and communicate the change. They look so old-fashioned now, don't they? Because we know we can do things really quickly when we want to. And the SME sector is so important to the UK, so important if we're going to get out of recession. But every support that we can give to this sector, absolutely vital. And I think Be The Business are doing a brilliant job, not only with their research, but with everything they're doing to support this sector.
Thank you, Kate. Well, our next story also looks at small firms, and it asks why the late payment scourge cuts even deeper amid the pandemic. Almost two-thirds of UK small firms have been subject to late or frozen payments in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak, according to the Federation of Small Businesses. Based on a study of 4,000 firms, the FSB's new report, Late Again, How the Coronavirus Pandemic is Impacting Payment Terms for Small Firms, shows that just one-tenth of the nation's small businesses have agreed changes to payment terms with their clients, meaning that the vast majority of this COVID-era wave of poor practice has not been formally signed off by creditors or debtors. FSB National Chairman Mike Cherry said, "Before the COVID-19 outbreak struck, many small firms were already under immense financial pressure because of late payments. With cash flow drying up as the lockdown took hold, this situation has worsened." He then goes on to say, "Sadly, some unscrupulous corporations are trying to inoculate themselves from the impact of COVID-19 by withholding payments or even freezing them at the expense of small businesses." Kate, what more can be done to break this culture of treating small businesses as free credit lines against their will?
Well, I know it's something that Philip Green, the Interim Commissioner for Small Firms, feels very strongly about, and has actually called out firms on LinkedIn, and comments have shown that this has changed the behaviour of some businesses, how they treat their small business suppliers. But what I think is really interesting, it is almost a trade-off between power and integrity. Of course, if you're somebody's biggest customer, you can treat them really badly. And I remember going back and perhaps even continuing, we hear criticisms, particularly in the grocery retail market, about how some retailers treat their suppliers really badly. But that is not values-driven behaviour. That's not a moral way to treat everybody in your supply chain. And ultimately, if you're not treating everybody fairly in that creation of value, it's going to break because it's unsustainable for some of those businesses. So we have to think about the sustainability. It seems to me just wrong to not pay your suppliers, especially when they're small businesses. And for them, it could be the difference of staying in business or going out of business altogether.
Thank you, Kate. Well, our next story is again related to small businesses. It looks at the Postcode Lottery's Green Challenge, which is one of the largest competitions in the field of sustainable entrepreneurship. Green startups from Germany, Great Britain, the Netherlands, Norway, and Sweden can submit their promising sustainable business plans, and the winner will receive €500,000 to further develop the product or service and to bring it to market. The runner-up will receive €200,000, and the three other finalists will receive €100,000 each. An international jury selects the winner and runner-up. In addition to the prize money, all finalists will receive over 6 months of expert coaching to optimize their business opportunities. The Dutch Postcode Lottery started the competition in 2007 to look for dedicated entrepreneurs with brilliant green business ideas. And this year, a total of 650 entrepreneurs have submitted their green business plans, and the juries in the various lottery countries have chosen 25 nominees. Kate, how important are initiatives such as the Green Challenge to sustainable entrepreneurship?
Well, they're obviously incredibly important to the finalists and to those people who are able to take their great ideas, great green ideas to market as a result of this competition. But having had a quick look through the finalists, it was interesting to me to see how white and male most of the finalists were, and I'm wondering if initiatives like this, which seem to say we're supporting the green economy, that's good, and not sufficiently critical about other aspects of their operations. And maybe Black Lives Matter will be an opportunity for us to think really broadly about what we mean about inclusivity. But for entrepreneurs trying to get their green ideas to market, it really is a great opportunity.
Thank you, Kate. Our final story is an article in Chief Executive by Saurabh Mishra, Associate Professor of Marketing at George Mason's University School of Business, that suggests operational efficiency as a dark side in times of crisis. He argues that efficiency-enabling practices generate greater profitability and deliver higher value to shareholders by making processes routine and focusing on constant but incremental improvements in operations. As a result, efficient organizations often have fewer resources left for managers to react to dynamic business conditions or to formulate innovations that build new markets. The prescription for managers, therefore, is to strive for a balance between efficiency and flexibility, or in other words, to become more agile. Mishra writes that the dynamic and hyper-competitive world of today dictates a path of balance, and this is particularly pertinent in the current crisis created by COVID-19. He adds, guarding their operations from such risk by tempering their quest for efficiency with a mindset for agility would help managers place their organizations in a serious competitive position in the long run. Kate, how can leaders best develop an agile mindset?
Well, this is interesting, isn't it? Because it's really an observation and commentary about what we were talking about in the first piece about the flexibility and the adaptability of small businesses. So to recommend what has just happened seems quite curious. It's a reminder, of course, that it wouldn't have been computers that would have been coming up with the great innovative and pivoting ideas. It would have been the people who work in the organizations, who understand the customers, who can make those creative connections and see opportunities that they hadn't seen previously. So, yes, of course, we need agile mindsets, but I think let's look at what's just happened during COVID-19. Let's just take great learning from some of the best innovative adaptions and remember, and I think even before COVID, we knew that this pursuit of efficiency did leave us vulnerable when environmental conditions change. And again, that has been a stark reminder. So when we're looking for cost-cutting initiatives, let's remember how it was the human capital that was saving the day in so many cases, and think very carefully before we start laying off those great human assets, people.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. And that concludes this week's episode. Listeners can find further topical content in the News and Views section on the Institute's website at www.institutelm.com. And thank you once again, Kate, for your insights on these stories.
Thank you, Rod.